All right. Well, it definitely is magical. So if you're not signed up for the weekend, all I can say is your next weekend will not be magical. I guess that's all I can really say. Oh, one thing real quick that we forgot to put on the bulletin. Next weekend, how the schedule runs, since most of us will be at the weekend. If you're not able to make it to the weekend or you're just not going for whatever reason, we haven't forgotten about you. We will have a service for middle school and high school right here in the Plex. And then next Sunday, Velocity will be canceled, just so you know that, all right? Genesis chapter 24, if you'd like to go ahead and turn there. That's where we're going to be studying tonight. But first of all, I need four volunteers. Let's see. Let's get somebody who I don't usually get. One, two, and three. Blue shirt, hat, and four. Yeah, there you go. Come on up here, guys. Friends, companions, two girls, two guys, I think. Yeah, there we go. Okay, you ready for this? Okay. Okay, so here we go. I have a little table prepared for you guys. All right. Now, here's what you're going to do. I'm going to give you guys all a banana. There you go. And there you go. And there you go. And there you go. All right, you guys got bananas? Okay, up here on the table, let me just explain what we have here. Duct tape, always good. We have packaging tape. We have scotch tape. We have more packaging tape. We have a box of toothpicks. We have here's the paper clip and the rubber bands and glue and Hershey syrup. I don't know why, but we have all of those. Okay, so here's what I'm going to ask you to do. If you guys need to use the table, feel free. You guys all each get a knife. There you go. Go ahead and cut up your banana, and I'm not going to tell you quite what we're going to be doing with that here yet, but you can use the table here real quick. Cut it up into a few pieces or however you'd like, all right? You can peel it if you'd like. You don't have to peel it. However you would like to cut it up, go ahead and do so. However you would like to do it. If you want to get crazy with it, whatever you would like to do. Don't lose the pieces, though. There you go. Grab that one. Okay, good. Nice. Nice. Fancy. Okay, good. Out of the peel over here. Ooh, nice. Just pulling it apart over here. Good. Okay, now let's make sure you have yours, okay, separated. Okay, why don't you move yours over here so we know whose is whose. Okay. Now, both girls peeled them. Both guys kept them in the peel. Oh, not anymore. Now he's unpeeling. Okay, good. So we have one in the peel. That's okay. Okay, so now here's your job. The first person who can restore their banana to make it look the best will win, all right? You can use any supplies right here on the table, and I'm going to give you a minute and a half, and you need to have the best-looking put-back-together banana as you can, all right? So go for it. Do whatever you need to do. You can glue it. You can tape it. You can toothpick it. You can rubber band it. Nice. Okay, good, good. The best redesign. Ooh, I like this. Good. The best redesigned, re-pieced-together banana. Okay, you guys are going to have a little over a minute left. Good job. Shouldn't have cut it up so small, huh? Nice, good, good. Chris, we'll need a picture of this afterwards, the restored bananas. Good job. Okay, oh man, what is this, like a punk rock banana? Look at that thing. That's amazing. Okay. Okay, you guys have 45 seconds. 45 seconds. Some of these bananas are actually looking kind of realistic. Others are scary, to say the least. Like that one. I would not want to put that in my cereal. Something about it kind of freaks me out. And Joe, how you doing over there?
It's like perfect.
Yeah, it's perfect, isn't it? Magical. Good, good. Okay, we have 15 seconds. 15 seconds to finish it up. The most realistic-looking put-back-together banana will win. Good job. Okay. Marisa, are you almost done? Nice. Okay, give a hand to all our contestants. Okay, let's Okay, I'd like to ask you how you cut your banana and then how you put it back together using what, all right?
Well, I just, like, pulled it apart and put toothpicks in it.
So. Nice, nice. And the end result is this. Scary. Okay, next.
I unpeeled it and then I chopped it really up.
Okay, and I think she's crying now. Okay, and what did you use to put it back together?
Glue and toothpicks.
Glue and toothpicks. So also probably not a banana you'd want to eat anymore. Joe?
I was creative.
You were creative, and how did you cut it apart?
I, like, cut it in half.
Uh-huh.
And then I cut it in pieces.
Nice. And then what did you use to put it back together?
I duct taped it.
You did not duct tape it. I don't see duct tape anywhere on here.
It's almost like duct tape. It's sticky.
Oh, it is sticky. True. Okay, good. You scotch taped it. Okay, and how about you?
I cut it into pieces and peeled the skin off.
Nice.
Put it together with toothpicks.
Nice, toothpicks. Give a hand to all our contestants. I don't know. I would have to say that Joe's probably won. The most realistic. Okay, you guys can all grab a seat. See, that one's just scary. See? That one didn't win. Okay, Chris, did you get a picture of these? Okay, good. All right, we'll move this out of the way here. I'm not trapped. Okay. Well, as you guys know, I probably could have stepped over that table. As you guys know, on the weekends, we are studying Genesis 24, talking about relationships. And here's the thing that I want you guys to understand from this crazy little game that we played. Remember how last week we talked about the importance of respecting relationships and how a lot of people think that it's okay to just go from one to the next to the next. And unfortunately, sometimes we think that it's okay to commit ourselves to somebody and then back out and do it over and over and over again. And the thing that I want you guys to understand is that when you make a commitment to somebody and then you back out of it, something, a piece of you has been left behind in that relationship. And it's very hard for you to ever look the same. Much like this banana, emo weird banana, punk banana, much like this one with glue coming out of it, and the rest. Although Joe's is decent looking, I still, imagine if you saw this in the grocery store. You're like, don't think I'm going to buy that one, you know? And then there's this one that, like, isn't even together anymore. But when you commit yourself to someone and you back out, you'll remember last weekend we had a wedding here in Velocity and we glued our bride and groom together. And then a few years later, their relationship didn't work out, and he just liked to watch NASCAR all the time, and she told him that he's ugly, and so they got divorced, and so we pulled them apart, and you remember they weren't so good-looking anymore because pieces of each individual had been left behind because of that broken relationship. And so what you guys need to understand is that relationships deserve respect. And that's the first thing that we learned last week in our top 10 things to remember. Our second thing last week was that morals really matter. We talked about the importance of seeing eye to eye with anyone that you commit yourself to in a relationship on moral issues. Very, very important. And the third thing that we learned is to plan on God's provision, that God will provide that person that you are looking for out there. Don't lower your standards just to make things work out with one person, but plan on God's provision. God will provide. So tonight is part two of Genesis 24. Make sure you're turned there. We'll be reading there in just a moment. The rights and wrongs of relationships. Last week was getting off to a good start. We learned the first three things to remember in relationships. Tonight, we're going to learn four more things to remember, and we're also going to learn three traits to look for. And tonight I'm calling it keeping up the pace, because it's good to get off to a good start, like we talked about last week, but there's some other things to keep in mind as we're kind of running this race, and we need to keep up the pace in following God's plan. So, if you're in Genesis chapter 24, let's start in verse 10. And actually, let me just give you kind of a recap of last week so you remember where we're at. Abraham was old. He told his servant, probably Eliezer, to go find a wife for his son Isaac. So he tells him to go to a faraway land, the land that they came from, which is about 450 miles away from where they're living at the time. Tells him to go find a wife. He makes him take a very solemn oath, declaring to him that he will bring back a godly wife, not a Canaanite woman from the land that they're living in at that point, but from Abraham's hometown. So that's kind of where we meet up. Let's start reading in verse 10. Then the servant took 10 of his master's camels and departed, for all his master's goods were in his hand. And he arose and went to Mesopotamia, to the city of Nahor. And he made his camels kneel down outside the city by a well of water at evening time, the time when women go out to draw water. Then he said, O Lord, God of my master Abraham, please give me success this day and show kindness to my master Abraham. Behold, here I stand by the well of water, and the daughters of the man of the city are coming out to draw water. Now let it be that the young woman to whom I say, please let down your pitcher that I may drink. And she says, drink, and I will also give your camels a drink. Let her be the one you have appointed for your servant Isaac. And by this I will know you have shown kindness to my master. So the fourth thing to remember in relationships, prayers are powerful. Or I guess you could say prayer is powerful. One of my favorite passages on prayer comes from Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 through 7. You guys have probably heard it. In one version it says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. So it says that instead of worrying about things, we should pray about them. I like how the New Living Translation words it. It says, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he has done. If you do this, you will experience God's peace, which is far more wonderful than the human mind can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. But you know what? The Bible talks so much about prayer and crying out to God, but so easily we underestimate the power of prayer. It's very easy to do that. In fact, Paul started that passage that we just read in Philippians, verse 6, with don't worry about anything. Matthew chapter 6, Jesus says, don't worry. He says, if you just seek after me, I'm going to provide everything you need. He gives the example of the daisies or the flowers in a field. They don't have to worry about what they're going to wear every day. They don't worry about stuff, but God provides for them and clothes them. He says, when was the last time you saw a bird that was worried about what it was going to eat? Can you imagine? Oh man, where am I going to get a worm today? You know, birds don't worry. They know that they are provided for. And if God cares about the birds and the flowers, how much more does he care about us? And if he provides for them, how much more will he provide for us? So Jesus says, don't worry. But imagine this. All of us have worried at many points in our lives. Imagine if we all prayed as much as we worried about things. There are a lot of things in life that we worry about, that we find ourselves worrying. It's funny. Every once in a while, somebody tells me, oh man, I'm so worried about this. And sometimes I kind of give them a hard time and I encourage it, like, oh, good. Well, maybe if you're worrying, it'll come out better, right? You should probably start worrying some more. In fact, call me later on. If I've got some time, I'll come over and we can worry together, you know? In fact, maybe Velocity could have like a special worry service and we could just all get together and worry about life, you know? Maybe life circumstances will get a lot better. In fact, maybe instead of us praying before meals, we should just worry before meals, you know? Oh man, I hope this food is good and I hope it got cooked long enough because, man, I don't want to get sick and, oh man, I'm really worried about this food. Okay, let's eat. Can you imagine? or before a big test. Oh, man, I'm so worried, I'm so worried, I'm so worried. Or before bed. Son, did you say your worries before bed? Okay, make sure you say your worries, okay? I'm worried about this, and I'm worried about that, and I'm really freaked out about this thing. And why in the world do we worry about stuff? Imagine if we prayed as much as we worried. Jesus says, don't worry. You know, I guess instead of having a place on the back of bulletins for prayer requests, we could have worry requests, you know? Hey, you know, some of my friends in the hospital, I was really wondering if you could worry with me, you know? I just really would like some more people to be worrying. It would be great, you know? No, worrying doesn't help anybody. In fact, Jesus said that. Matthew chapter 6, verse 27 and verse 34. He says, can all your worries add a single moment to your life? Of course not. Verse 34, so don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring its own worries. Today's trouble is enough for today. And if there's any kind of worry in people's lives, a lot of times it's relationships. They think, I'm not good looking enough, I'll never find that person's not out there, whatever it may be, it's very easy to worry about relationships. What are they going to do if, what am I going to do if they don't like me? Or, oh, I'm so worried that I have to like keep earning their desire and their love, or whatever it is. There's a lot of worries that can often go with relationships. Eliezer is not one to worry about relationships. He has already put God first. We read that he prayed. He's already put God first. And so he talks to the Lord. And he asks God to give him success as he goes out on this mission for Abraham. That's exactly what he does. In fact, that's one thing that I think really set mine and Jen's dating relationship on the right course. Because every time we went out on a date, we would pray beforehand. And it really helped us to focus. It helped us to put God at the center of our relationship where he belonged. And I can tell you that when you start a date with prayer, your motives and your intentions later on in that date are going to be much more pure. And God will really answer that prayer. So I encourage you to do that. So prayer is powerful. Don't forget the power of prayer in your life. Instead of worrying about it, Eliezer didn't. He prayed. And that's exactly what we should do as well. In fact, I would encourage you guys, maybe tonight, in the next couple of weeks, pray for your future spouse. It may be years down the road until you meet that person. My daughter's case, 35 years. But it may be years down the road, but how amazing would it be for you to say, hey, you know what? It's so cool that years ago, I didn't even know who you were, but I was praying for you, you know? God can really answer those prayers. And so I would just encourage you to begin praying for that person wherever they may be. So our number four was that prayers are powerful. Number five, search for a sign. Search for a sign. Let me read verse 14 one more time. This is Eliezer praying. Now let it be that the young woman to whom I say, please let down your pitcher that I may drink. And she says, drink, and I will also give your camels a drink. Let her be the one you have appointed for your servant Isaac. And by this, I will know that you have shown kindness to my master. Now this isn't something that normally happens, you know. When you show up at a well, like we do all the time, right? You show up to the well and the women are walking out carrying their water pots, because that happens all the time in Albuquerque. And then you say to one of the women, can I have a drink? The normal reply is, no, you're creepy, I don't know you, you know? Or, I guess, and they give you like a reluctant cup of water. But you rarely would get the response, absolutely. Oh, I see you have 10 camels. I'll water them too. And so Eliezer is asking for a pretty big sign here. He says, hey, God, I'm going to show up. Here I am. I'm at this well. All these women are coming out and getting water, filling up their pitchers. And so when I ask a woman for water and she says to me, sure, I'll give you a drink. I'll also give your camel something to drink. That I will know is a sign sent by you that she is the one, that you have made my journey successful. Because Eliezer has already put God first. He started out with prayer. But now he asks God for a sign. Why is that? Because God knows the perfect person for Isaac to marry. God knows exactly who she is, who he wants it to be. But Eliezer doesn't. And so he relies completely on God, and he says, God, I know that you know who the one is. And so just give me a sign. Give me a very clear sign that the one who says this to me is the one I should bring back. And this is a pretty biblical thing to do. In fact, back in the book of Judges, Judges chapter 6, God is calling Gideon into the ministry, actually to go serve him, to defeat some enemies. And Gideon's like, I don't think that's really God. God, if this is really you, show me a sign. So God does. And Gideon's like, okay, that was cool. I still don't know if I quite believe it, though. Could you show me one more sign? So God shows him another sign. He proves to him very clearly that he was the one calling Gideon to go do what he had told him to do. Even back in the book of Exodus, you guys know the story of the Israelites enslaved in Egypt. And what did God send 10 of to the king of Pharaoh to prove that he was God? Plagues, or you could also call them signs. Signs of God's wonder and God's power. So that's exactly what he did. This is a very biblical thing to do. And it's amazing to me as we read this story how quickly God answered this prayer and gave him a sign. Look at verse 15. And it happened before he had finished speaking. So he's mid-sentence. That behold, Rebekah, who was born to Bethuel, son of Milcah, the wife of Nahor, Abraham's brother, came out with her pitcher on her shoulder. Now the young woman was very beautiful to behold, a virgin. No man had known her, and she went down to the well, filled up her pitcher, and came up. And the servant ran to meet her and said, please let me drink a little water from your pitcher. Okay, now, at this point, he probably doesn't know how she's going to respond. He might just get a slap upside the face. I'm not giving you something to drink. Who are you, right? He doesn't exactly know how she's going to respond. But remember the sign he asked for. Verse 18, so she said, drink, my lord. Then she quickly let her pitcher down to her hand and gave him a drink. And when she had finished giving him a drink, she said, I will draw water for your camels also until they have finished drinking. Then she quickly emptied her pitcher into the trough, ran back to the well to draw water, and drew for all his camels. Wow. That's a lot of water. But Eliezer's in shock here. He's like in awe, amazed that God is already answering his prayer. He's barely even finished praying. He's probably mid-sentence, and God answers his prayer. In fact, verse 21, it says, and the man, wondering at her, remained silent so as to know whether the Lord had made his journey prosperous or not. It's interesting because it says the man was wondering at her. Basically, that means to gaze or to be astonished by or just basically to be in awe. Okay? So you can picture the scene. He's just finished praying, asking for this sign from God, and then this beautiful girl walks out. And he's like, he runs up to her. Hey, could I have some water? And she's like, yeah, sure. Here, take a drink. He drinks up, and then he's waiting. He's waiting. And she pours the rest of the water into the trough, and she says, hold on just a few minutes. Let me just run up and down a few times. I'm gonna water all your camels as well. And he's just like this. God's answering my prayer that quickly, you know? He's blown away. He's probably just literally standing there, like limp arms, jaw open, eyes huge, watching her run up and down the stairs, feeding her camels. He's in awe, or watering his camels. So it's crazy. He is so in awe of what God is doing right here. And he's just watching her do this. And he's amazed that God is already giving him a sign that this is the one. God cares about your relationships. That's the thing that I want you guys to remember. God cares about every relationship you allow yourself to be in. And he knows the person that's out there for you. And he will answer if you ask. So search for a sign, my encouragement to you. Number 6, respect the relatives. Dun, dun, dun. Verse 22. So it was when the camels had finished drinking that the man took a golden nose ring, nice, weighing half a shekel, and 2 bracelets for her wrists, weighing 10 shekels of gold, and said, "Whose daughter are you? Tell me, please, is there room in your father's house for us to lodge?" So she said to him, "I am the daughter of Bethuel, Milcah's son, whom she bore to Nahor." Moreover, she said to him, "We have both straw and feed enough and room to lodge." So, respect the family members. Now, let's be honest, some family members are kind of hard to respect, aren't they? In fact, I read a news story about a 43-year-old German man who was pretty sure that he was going to end up, his marriage was going to end up in divorce. So he decided to take his half of the house, literally. This guy got a chainsaw and measured his house, his one-story house, and sawed it in half, okay? Roof, walls, floor, sawed his house in half, got a forklift, lifted his half of the house, took it to his brother's house, and now he lives in his half of the house. Now, that, I don't know what that guy's thinking, but I'll bet his wife, or soon-to-be ex-wife, is probably not too thrilled with that, right? Like, honey, I would have given you all the furniture in the car, not that side of the house, you know? Probably not too excited. And there's, you know, honestly, there are some people who it's kind of hard to respect. There's a lot of jokes about in-laws, about mother-in-laws, about father-in-laws, and how it's so hard to relate and to connect with them. There's so many things out there saying don't respect them. But the Bible is very clear that we should respect them, because whether or not they deserve it, it's honoring God to respect them anyways. And so it's very important for us to do that. And Eliezer understood this, and he acted on it. The first thing he does is ask where her dad is. "Hey, whose daughter are you? Where are you from? I need to find out some more info." Because he could have just made her come with him. "Sweet, you're going to be the wife of my buddy Isaac." And he could have like roped her up and threw her on a camel and taken her away. But he didn't. He wasn't like a kidnapper. He wasn't some crazy guy. He wanted to make sure it was okay with the family. So the first thing he asks is, "Who's your dad? I need to meet this guy." In our society, when two people get proposed, it's the sign of the proposal is usually an engagement ring, right? There's like a nice little diamond or something like that. Well, it's kind of funny to me how they got engaged in the Bible, because he's at the well searching for the sign. She is very clearly the one from God to be Isaac's wife. So you know what he does to kind of propose to her? Pulls out a nose ring and some bracelets. "Hey, you should get engaged to my buddy Isaac, you know?" She's like, "Awesome. Hold on, let me go get pierced real quick," right? And so he puts in the nose ring. She's wearing all kinds of gold bracelets, right? Kip style. And it's great, right? So they're engaged. They're engaged now. And so you can imagine the father's shock as she walks back home. And he's like, "Why is my daughter wearing bracelets and a nose ring, you know?" Now for us, for many of you, you would just get slapped for getting a nose ring, right? But for him, it was a totally different sign. That meant his daughter was about to get married. So Eliezer presents her with these things. He asks who her dad is. And I can tell you from experience that relationships work a lot better when the families are involved. Now, maybe you're thinking, "Well, but my parents wouldn't approve of me dating that person." Well, that's a pretty good sign you shouldn't be dating them, I would say. If your parents don't approve or their parents don't approve, how about you just hold off? How about you just be patient until things start working out? Because when it's the right person, you're going to know. And God's going to work things out. In fact, I even, when I was dating Jen, I asked her dad for permission to get engaged to her. And that was the most intimidating, scary thing I've ever done in my life. You guys remember the story? I sat outside Starbucks in October, end of October, so it was freezing. I didn't have a jacket. And I was so nervous that when he asked me if I wanted something to drink, could have gotten something hot, should have gotten something hot. Instead, I got ice water, okay? So I sat outside of Starbucks, no jacket, drinking ice water, like, can I marry your daughter? You know, I was shaking and nervous and wasn't so great. But it was great that I respected him enough to ask for permission. I remember actually the first time I talked to him on the phone, I asked Jen if she would like to go out. And so then she said, yeah, would you mind talking to my dad about that? And I said, yeah, absolutely, I'd love to. So he got on the phone, and he told me that that would be totally fine if I went out with her, and that he would be waiting when I came to her house with a shotgun for me. And I was like, oh, well, that's very reassuring. So thankfully there was no shotgun present, and I survived, as you can tell. And of course, as I said, a few months later, I asked for permission to marry her. And I will never forget, because although he was okay with me marrying her, I will never forget his reaction when she came home with an engagement ring. In fact, I brought a prop to act it out. It's a toothbrush. Okay, now let me explain why. When I got home that night, we had been at a staff Christmas party, and I had proposed to her, and they still had no idea back at her house. So we walk in the door, and I remember, I'll never forget it. He was in red and black plaid pants, PJs, and a white shirt, and he was brushing his teeth. So it looked like he was already foaming at the mouth, which was a little scary. But we walked in, and Jen said, hey, Dad, look at my ring, like this. And he went like this. And his face went like this white, and it was very scary. And I remember walking up to him and giving him kind of like an awkward hug, like, please don't kill me, you know? Hey, Jen's mom, grab the shotgun, please, you know? Put it away, right? So although he was a little shocked, respecting the relatives, I can tell you, goes a very long way. And that's exactly what Eliezer has done here. Respecting them, yours, theirs, everyone involved, makes life a lot easier. Number 7 on things to remember, praise the provider. Verse 26. Then the man bowed his head and worshiped the Lord. And he said, blessed be the Lord God of my master Abraham, who has not forsaken his mercy and his truth toward my master. As for me, being on the way, the Lord led me to the house of my master's brethren. Verse 28, so the young woman ran and told her mother's household these things. So let me just encourage you, just real briefly, when you do find the one years down the road, thank God. Remember to put the credit where it is due. That it was not you, despite what you would like to think, like, women can't resist me, you know? Despite what you might like to think, when you get married and you have gone according to God's plan, God has put it together. So remember to thank God. But don't let the thanks stop at marriage. Continue it. And I think that's probably a main problem with many marriages that end in divorce now. Because maybe they were serving the Lord when they were dating, when they were engaged. They thanked the Lord for each other. But down the road, they quit that. They don't pray together anymore. They don't really even thank God for the other person anymore and realize what a blessing that person is in their lives. So I encourage you to praise the God who provided. That's a problem with many people today. So we've learned 7 of 10 things to remember about relationships. And in 2 weeks after the weekend, we'll learn our last 3. We'll also learn our last 3 traits to look for, because in just a moment we're going to learn our first three traits to look for in a future spouse. And just so you know, they're in no particular order. We're just going in the order of the text, but let's read verse 16 one more time, and we'll look at a couple. Verse 16, now the young woman, this speaking of Rebecca, was very beautiful to behold. So the first thing to look for is beauty. Now I say that, the first thing to look for. Now that does not mean that that should be priority number one. Because I can tell you, the looks often are the first thing that we notice, but those will not keep you around. It will not be the looks like, oh, hey, my wife hates me and thinks I'm ugly, but man, she sure is pretty, right? You're not going to want to hang around with somebody like that. You may be attracted at first by the looks, but it goes much further than that. In fact, that's where we kind of, this is where we kind of come back. Do you guys remember 2 weeks ago when we discussed this? Somebody said, I want to marry a Christian that's hot, right? Okay, that's good. That's good. And the Christian part is obviously the most important part. Because you're not going to want to hang around with somebody who doesn't see eye to eye with you on the things that matter, on the moral issues, on the biblical issues. Obviously, Christianity is the most important part. But our society is obsessed with looks. We're obsessed with it. Even some of us, we're obsessed with how we look and how we dress and what we, you know, the way people think about us. But I thought it was interesting. I found a funny picture about burgers that kind of summed it up. Check out this picture. Advertising and reality. You guys know how that is, right? You guys know how that is. You're watching like a Taco Bell commercial, and you're like, oh, that chalupa looks so good, you know? You're like, Mom, I need a chalupa, whatever that is, you know? And so she takes you to Taco Bell, and you're like, yeah, I need a chalupa, you know? And so you order the chalupa, and they give you it, and you're like, no, I ordered the chalupa, you know? I did not order whatever you gave me, because that is not, I guarantee that is not what was on the commercial, you know? They're like, no, that's a chalupa. You got it. You got it right there on your tray. And so you know that the looks often attract. And you're pulled in by that sometimes, but those are not what keeps you around. Because if that thing tastes disgusting when you eat it, you're probably not going to want to keep eating it just because it looks nice. Right? So it's much further than just outward beauty. I want to tell you guys that what it really is inward beauty to desire, to look for. A couple Bible verses about that. 1 Peter 3:3-4, do not be concerned about the outward beauty that depends on fancy hairstyles, expensive jewelry, or beautiful clothes. You should be known for the beauty that comes from within, the unfading beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is so precious to God. And then Proverbs 31:30 says, charm is deceitful and beauty is passing, but a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. It's about inward beauty. Don't focus on the outward, focus on the inward. The second trait to look for is purity. We read about that also in verse 16. Now the young woman was very beautiful to behold, a virgin. No man had known her. Very important. And I would say purity goes hand in hand with beauty, specifically inward beauty. Because a person who is pure has loved God, loved their future spouse, and love themselves enough to wait for marriage. So look for purity. Look for beauty. Look for purity. And number three, look for energy. Verse 17. And the servant ran to meet her and said, please let me drink a little water from your pitcher. So she said, drink, my lord. Then she look at her action here. Then she quickly let her pitcher down to her hand and gave him a drink. And when she had finished giving him a drink, she said, I will draw water for your camels also until they have finished drinking. Then she quickly emptied her pitcher into the trough, ran back to the well to draw water, and drew for all his camels. So when I say look for energy, you guys are like, sweet, I got that, you know. I'm in middle school, I'm in velocity, I got energy. Now I'm not talking about like ADD, bouncing off the walls, fueled by Mountain Dew energy, okay? That's a little bit different energy than what I'm going for here, all right? But what I'm talking about here is looking for somebody who's not lazy. Imagine this girl, like, yeah, sure, I'll give you something to drink. I'll get your camel's water too. Like, who knows when, but I guess I'll do that. She's like, hold on, I got to take a lunch break real quick. Sits down. Man, I'm so out of breath. She's not lazy. Nobody can call this chick lazy. Eliezer asks for a drink, and she says, sweet. Oh, so you have 10 camels. No problem. I'll get them watered too. That'll be great. We read earlier in verse 10 that Eliezer on this trip took 10 camels with him. 10 camels. Now, so I did a little research on camels, how much these things drink. Do you know that camels can drink 30 gallons of water in 10 minutes? You know how many 8-ounce glasses that is? 480 8-ounce glasses, okay? When we were at the workathon today with Mexico team, Marcus and I took a water break. I downed like a whole Gatorade. He downed like a whole water bottle. We were like bloated, like, oh, I'm going to puke now. From one water bottle, like 16 ounces. And these camels can drink 30 gallons in 10 minutes. It's a lot of water. And they're probably pretty thirsty. For the last 3 weeks, they have been walking 450 miles. They're probably pretty thirsty. So I did some math. We got 10 camels. Each camel can drink 30 gallons in 10 minutes. Obviously, that comes out to 300 gallons of water that this woman is saying she will provide for these camels. That's almost 5,000 8-ounce glasses of water. That is a lot of water. Nobody can call her lazy. What a servant. What a servant. Proverbs. I encourage you guys to read Proverbs. Talks a lot about laziness, how it is a trait that you never want to find in somebody. In fact, the cool thing about Proverbs, you can read one every day of the month. There's 31 chapters. So if today is the 17th, you read Proverbs chapter 17. Tomorrow's the 18th. Read the 18th chapter. Just go through the whole book. You can go through it every month if you'd like. And there's lots of great things in that book. It's a book of wisdom. So in a couple weeks, we'll learn the latter three traits to look for in a relationship. But let me just say this. A lot of people, and maybe some of you guys in here tonight, aren't ready to let go of certain things. Although, when you do let go, it makes things a lot easier. It's really funny. My daughter, Emery, just recently, she has fallen in love with sucking on her hand, okay? She loves this thing. Here's a picture. She would swallow the entire thing if she could possibly get that thing in her mouth. And so she just lays there all the time sucking her hands. And they're in tight little fists, and she just sticks those things in her mouth. And it's funny, every once in a while, I always try to not let her do that. And I'll be like moving one hand down, and she'll be moving the other one up, you know? It kind of goes like this until today I couldn't get her to stop, so I put both her hands behind her back, and she was all, you know, she couldn't get it. But so, you know, what's funny is she likes to suck on her fist, but she also likes to hold on to these little toys that we have for her. Here's a picture. She loves to hold on to these little rings, and she holds on to them so tight. It's almost impossible to pry her fingers off of that thing. She loves them. But she's kind of gotten frustrated lately because she loves to hold on to those things so much that then she can't get her hand in her mouth, you know? She's all, it's not working, you know? What's happening here? And I keep telling her, Emery, if you would let go of the toy, you would be able to get your hand in your mouth. Now, if you did, then I would pull it out of your mouth, but that's beside the point, right? Well, here's what I want you guys to think about tonight. She has kind of made it hard on herself by holding on to something that won't let her continue with what she wants to do. Some of us have fallen into the same trap. We are holding on to something so tight, possibly, very possibly, a relationship that is fun, but I can guarantee if you will let go of that, and give it up to the Lord, things will be so much easier. So let me ask you this. What do you need to let go of tonight? What are you holding on to that you know, like Emery, if you let go of it, things would go so much smoother? But it's so much fun. That relationship, that friendship, that boyfriend, that girlfriend, that action, that sin, whatever it may be, what are you holding on to tonight that you need to let go of? I want to encourage you that tonight is the night to let go. Tonight is the night to give that to the Lord. Today when I got home after working outside all day for hours, I was scratched up. I've got scratches everywhere. I had them all over my legs and my arms. And here's the thing. I got in that shower to get all cleaned up because I was so dirty and smelly. And it really hurt in the shower because all that water was like going in all my cuts and stuff. But man, when I got out of there, it felt so good to be clean, you know? Same thing with Christ. It might hurt a little bit to come clean, but it will be so worth it in the end. And I want to encourage you guys to do that tonight. So tonight, if you need to give something up, if you need to let something go, tonight's your opportunity to do that. We will have leaders up here in just a moment to pray for you, to pray with you. And I want to just ask you guys to be challenged, to challenge your thinking on relationships, dating, friendships even. Challenge your thinking on it. Question, are my friendships, are my relationships the way they should be? It's good to get off to the right start like we learned last week, but you have to keep up the pace. So trust in the Lord and trust in His plan and He will provide. Let's pray. Jesus, You are so good and so faithful that we know You're always going to provide and You're always going to be there. And we thank You so much for that, God. We just ask tonight, Lord, and my prayer has been for a couple weeks now, that You would challenge all of our thinking on relationships. And Lord, I'll bet, in fact, I know there are many people in this room tonight who, like my daughter, need to let go of something. They need to give something up to You. But they're maybe afraid of the pain. God, I know that it is so worth it when they'll do it. So Lord, just help us tonight to surrender completely to You. Convict us of the areas that need conviction and help us to live for You. In Your name we pray. Amen. Thank you guys so much for coming tonight. Have an awesome night. We will have leaders available if you need to talk to somebody.